Good afternoon. My name is Rachel, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Hunger in America press call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Ms. Peters. You may begin your conference.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Center for American Progress press call on hunger in America. I just wanted to remind everyone that this call will be recorded, and by participating in the call, you are consenting to being recorded. Today, the Center for American Progress and Brandeis University will be releasing a new report entitled Hunger in America, The Suffering We All Pay For. The report isolates three major costs that society bears due to rising rates of hunger and food insecurity, including illness, poor educational outcomes, and the cost of charity. This report will be available on the Center for American Progress website following the call. The authors of the new report are joining us on today's call to discuss the findings of this important study. First, we'll hear from Donna Cooper, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, followed by Professor Donald Shepard, Professor at the Schneider Institute for Health Policy at the Heller School at Brandeis University. Donna, I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. The Center for American Progress is pleased to release this report today because we think that as Congress embarks on its efforts to balance the budget, it has to make some very tough decisions. Of course, discretionary spending is at the top of the list of consideration for cuts, and that means some of the largest federal nutrition programs may be on the chopping block, including the programs of commodity food supplements that go out to soup kitchens and shelters and food pantries across the country, as well as the nutrition program for women, infants, and children. Also, measures to address mandatory spending may be on the chopping block, and that is where the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program may be at risk. That is the program that we all used to know as food stamps. Because Congress is going to be considering how nutrition programs contribute in a cutting way to the balancing the budget, we thought it was very important that Congress understand the current costs of rising hunger and food insecurity in America. For this reason, we reached out to Don Shepard at Brandeis University, who was one of the principal authors of a report in 2007 released by Sodexo Foundation that identified the economic costs of hunger in America. So this report updates that report and includes data from 2007 and 2010. Don and his colleague Elizabeth Cetrin did painstaking research to demonstrate the link between rising health care costs and lost productivity as it relates to hunger and what that means for each of us in society. The total American hunger bill is $167.5 billion. That is on top of the costs that the federal government spends for its nutrition programs. And at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Don for him to share the details of the study and the methods he used to do this research.
Thanks very much, Donna. Good afternoon. Brandeis is privileged to have the chance to collaborate on this study. I'd like to give a couple of highlights of the report. The hunger bill is the sum of the social and economic costs of hunger and food insecurity. As Donna said a moment ago, in the year 2010, it was at least $167.5 billion, and it's risen substantially. In constant dollars from 2007 to 2010, it rose by $42 billion. Everybody pays these costs. If you take that amount in 2010 and divide by the population, it works out to $542 for every man, woman, and child in this country. Or dividing by the number of households, it works out to $1,410 per household. And the reason it's so large is a large number of Americans are affected. In 2010, there were 48.8 million Americans, or almost one in six Americans, that confronted hunger or food insecurity. So what's in the hunger bill? First and most important is the cost of additional illness. Second is the economic cost of underperformance in school that leads to reduced lifetime earnings. And third is the cost of charitable donations to address emergency food needs. Why is this hunger bill rising? Well, primarily because there are more people affected than there have been before. in 2010, there were 12.6 million more individuals affected by hunger and food insecurity than there were just 3 years earlier in 2007. Compared to the earlier report that we did, we also know more about the kinds of costs affected, such as special education, and the population, of course, has grown. To say a word more about the health care costs, hunger makes people ill more often, and that component of the hunger bill was $130.5 billion. And that's due to the higher risk of a number of conditions in people that are hungry or food insecurity. For example, for iron deficiency, the risk was 1.66 times. For hospitalization, 1.3 times. Anxiety, twice the risk. Depression, 3.5 times. These amounts are have increased substantially also over 2010, with an overall increase in the health care costs related to medical care, plus the economic cost of time lost is $32 billion over just the three-year period. The second component of hunger is the adverse impact on school performance and the resulting decrease in lifetime earnings. For example, hungry and food insecure children are at least 50% more likely to miss days of school. They're nearly twice as likely to be suspended from school. They have almost 50% higher chance to repeat a grade in school, and all of those factors make them more likely to drop out and thereby have reduced lifetime earnings. That increase over 3 years amounts to $5.3 billion. And the last component of our study was the cost of charitable donations for the emergency food system. And in year 2010, that component required $17.8 billion. And that component has also increased by $4.6 billion compared to the amount in 2010. And that's the cost of all levels in the emergency food system: national coordination, regional food bank, community organizations, and the value of volunteer time. And so again, the overall total was $167.5 billion. The healthcare costs was the largest component of that. If one weighs the cost against the cost of the supplemental nutrition assistance program, one way of addressing that could be to add to that to the cost of the SNAP program. Although we don't recommend that as the primary approach, that approach would be far less costly than the economic burden that hunger poses on this society. So let me stop and welcome questions.
Oh, before you do that, we'll just jump in with two other pieces of information. Because of the press that's on, many of you are from papers in states. I'd like to go through some of the impact on the states. Basically, every state has seen an increase in the hunger bill. The national hunger bill rose 33% from 2007 to 2010. There were several states that had much higher rates of increase than the national average, and I'll just draw your attention to Florida, where they had the highest rate of increase, nearly 62% increase in the three-year period in the state hunger bill, followed by California, where the increase was over 40%, and in Maryland, where it was near also at 40%. There were 12 states where the hunger bill rose by more than $1 billion, and those states were California, Florida, Texas, New York, Ohio, Illinois, Georgia, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Washington, Arizona, and Michigan. For the states that are on the call that I'm aware of, as I said, Florida increased by nearly 62% in the 3 years of the hunger bill. California's hunger bill is near $20 billion with a 47% increase. Texas has a $16 billion hunger bill, a 33% increase. That's the same rate as the national average. Kansas and Minnesota both have lower rates of increase than the national average. Kansas with a 20% increase in its hunger bill. Its hunger bill now is $1.6 billion. And in Minnesota, where the hunger bill is $2.25 billion, the increase was 16.5%. As Don said, one way to address the hunger bill that might be more efficient than the current system would be to expand the SNAP program. For instance, if we were to take the 48.8 million Americans who were food insecure and add them to the SNAP program, it would drive the cost of that $65 billion program up by another $83 billion around. We don't necessarily think that that's the most effective approach. Hunger and food insecurity correlate with unemployment. The higher the unemployment rate, the higher the rate of hunger. So we believe a stronger set of policy recommendations would focus on how do we expand jobs, increase wages, and then meet the shortage in that by expansion in the nutrition and assistance programs. So with that, I think we open up with questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one to ask your question.
We were very clear.
We have one question. That is from the line of Kate Santich.
Yes, I'd like to ask the professor to elaborate a little bit about the methodology. How do you determine, for example, that hunger or food insecurity is responsible for a decrease in academic performance or being held back a grade as opposed to other factors? Similarly, how do you measure that that is behind certain health conditions as opposed to other things?
Great question. Thank you so much. For each of the conditions that we looked at, we needed three kinds of data. And if we didn't have those, we didn't count that condition. So first was the rate of food insecurity that's based on the current population survey food module. The second was what is technically called a risk ratio or an odds ratio. And these came from research studies in which, in the published literature, in which the researchers looked at the relationship in the subjects in the study between hunger or food insecurity and each of the events that we looked at, such as depression or absenteeism or repeating a grade. If there wasn't that research, we couldn't include that study in it. And then the third was a study on the economic cost of that consequence. And so specifically with education, there were two kinds of links that we found in the literature. People were absent more often, and they were more likely to repeat a grade. And then the literature also showed that each of those conditions was associated with increased risk of dropping out of school and not finishing. And the economics literature shows that people that don't finish school have substantially lower lifetime earnings than those that do. So in brief, that's our method.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. We have no other questions.
Can we just have Don wanted to add a few for the press. You might want to have a teeny bit of background that Don wanted to add, because we tried to open this up as quickly as possible and take your questions, but there might be a few pieces of useful information that Don wants to offer.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks. We'll take the question first.
Your question is from the line of Julie Sipple.
I work with Minnesota Public Radio, and thanks for addressing the states in particular. That's helpful to me. I wonder if you have any speculation as to why the bill has grown less in Minnesota than the national average.
I think the first thing you're going to know, see in Minnesota, is that while the Midwest has had serious unemployment challenges, the unemployment rate in Minnesota, for instance, is lower than the rate in California. Also, you have had the extraordinary impact of the mortgage foreclosure market in both California and Florida. It has not been as harsh. I mean, it has been, but not as harsh as in California and Florida. So between the people losing their homes and all their equity and resources in California and Florida, which is so widespread, and higher unemployment rates in certain states, that's going to be a big contributing factor to why you're going to have more people unable to afford or be able to rely on meals.
Just to add on to Donna's comment, the main driver, both at the national level for the increase as well as at the state level, is the number of people who are hungry or food insecure. So the states with the largest percentage increase were the ones that had the largest percentage increases in the number of hungry and food insecure people, and the largest absolute increases were the states with the largest absolute number of people that fell into that condition. I want to add one other comment that one thing that's not behind the increase is inflation. All of the numbers that we've done are what in economic lingo are called constant prices. So we've already removed the effect of inflation, and each of the increases that we've talked about are those that occur beyond inflation.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We have no further questions at this time.
We want to thank you very much for joining this call. On the Center for American Progress website is a state-by-state map, so all of the reporters on the line can go and scroll over the map. You'll see the data for your state in terms of the current hunger bill, the number of people who are food insecure and hungry, the number of people in food stamps, the number of people in WIC, and the poverty rate. So we've tried to put the data for you in one place, and you can then compare that data across states relatively easily. In addition, the full report is up. It has the state-by-state chart. It has what we call the billion-dollar club. Some of you are on the phone from states from the billion-dollar club, where the cost of food insecurity has risen by more than $1 billion in 3 years. Thank you very much for joining us.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.